Mornings with Dablo on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
We are back. 918. Got the sunshine in here, 29 degrees. Our Wednesday talk round continues as promised. Been looking forward to talking to Elisa Mitzkog, our representative here in District 25. Elisa in studio with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
We've got so much to talk about. We've got so much ground to cover. You've been busy out in Bismarck. But first, for people that might not know, I don't know who that might be, but catch us up about Elisa Mitzkog. Give us a little background.
Well, thanks, Bill. I really am really happy to be with you today. And I'm running for re-election. I put in 8 years out in Bismarck, and I really have enjoyed my work. I'd like to go back another term, I told my husband, and I landed on the Appropriations Committee, and I think it's a place that I really think I can make a difference in the impact for Richland County and our rural communities. I'm hoping if I'm reelected, I can go back and bring back some good money for this area.
You sound pretty impassioned about it. This has to strike a lot of the right chords with you, this kind of service.
Well, it's funny, you know, when I got way back involved in city politics and city council, I thought rather than grumbling, you know, step forward and try to make a difference, make this a better place. And I kind of took that attitude to Bismarck and, you know, set aside politics and worked across the aisle to really work on issues that affect people in our district.
So let's go back and do a little review over 8 years and the work that you've done. What have been some of your watershed moments? What have been some of the highlights?
Well, you know, not really big, you know, really important stuff in you know, I think that would land on the headlines of the front page. But, you know, I think issues that people have reached out to me from improving access for substance use treatment, rather than sending, I worked with law enforcement, I worked with probation and the local providers, rather than having somebody have to go to Fargo for treatment, go across the river. Yeah. I was shocked when I found out they couldn't do that and get reimbursed through the substance use disorder voucher, treatment voucher. And so we went and we did that, and that was easy.
You worked very hard on that. Don't dismiss that. You did. You worked very hard on that.
Well, I mean, it's just common sense, and it was saving taxpayers money rather than the transportation cost to go to Fargo. So I was pleased. Simple things like that.
Right.
You know, and constituents reach out to me, and I really try to listen to them and then represent them in Bismarck.
Right. So what, if somebody asks you, Elisa, what have you learned in 8 years? What are some of the things that come to mind?
Well, I'm reminded, I'm a chatty patty, but you gotta listen 80% of the time and then talk 20% of the time. So listening to the people that you represent, asking questions, and then, you know, being fair with some common sense and trying to make, if it's a good issue, and then working with your counterparts out in Bismarck across the aisle and to get something done.
How do you work your way around the negativity? There's so much of that on a state level, on a national level. How do you get around that?
Well, you have to breathe. I like to exercise, breathe, and really, you know, I think you just this is a bad family joke, but raised three teenage daughters, and so you have to kind of ignore some of the chatter and really this distracting noise, and just concentrate on really the important issues, and really pay attention to that
and move the needle forward,
right? And don't be distracted, and just keep looking at the goal and what you want to accomplish.
Fantastic. So, if reelected, what do you see as some of the major issues coming up?
Well, I'm really looking forward to the next session. The state is in a very good financial position. We've been conservative. We always have a balanced budget. But our general fund is tracking well ahead of our forecast. And so with our legacy fund at about $8 billion now, I think very strategic investments and expenditures, you know, you don't spend it all. You got to save for rainy days. But the number one issue is property tax relief. And
I was going to say, let's talk taxes.
Yeah. And I think there is a good, solid plan that's supported with bipartisan support that I think something's going to get done. Because we know property taxes are a local issue, but locals only, they're obligated K-12 education by our Constitution to be funded. But we've got to do something to increase their funding or give them some support. And I'm working on a few ideas to really bring some efficiencies to, rather than duplication of so many services and within their budgets that we can maybe share some services across school districts.
Do you do a lot of digging? You seem to be someone that likes to do the research before you move ahead with things.
Well, yeah, in my my world, you have to dig into issues, and mm-hmm. you know, I ask a lot of questions. I'm not afraid to pick up the phone or knock on a door in the Capitol and try to get to the bottom and learn things about the issues.
Right. So there was another hot button issue too that's come up, recreational marijuana. I know that's up for a vote here in November. Where do you stand on that one?
Well, it's a good question. I've been asked in the last couple of weeks. It's the third time. I'm pretty conservative when it comes to drugs. It's you talk to law enforcement, you talk to people that run our prisons. Most individuals that are incarcerated have substance use issues. I've worked on treatment, but the reality, we can't ignore that marijuana is in our communities. Mm-hmm. And my big issue is the scourge of fentanyl and these really deadly drugs that are here. So I've now come to the realization, would we be better off regulating it to some degree and knowing what's in that product? I mean, if people are already using it and you talk to law enforcement, I mean, it's here. It's so widespread. We just have to make sure that there's safety measures for our children in place and our workforce, and then keeping our highways safe and roads safe. So I'm now at a different point where I think, you know, looking at what's happened around the country, there's a good chance this is going to pass.
Right. And let's back up for a second too, and talk about something that you covered. You've done a lot of work as far as mental health and better mental health. In the coming years, if reelected, do you see a lot more work that needs to be done on that front?
I think it's going to be an ongoing issue. The world has changed, and you know, you're talking to teachers, administrators at schools and colleges. And really our workplaces, Americans, all of us in society, we're under a lot of stress. And
right.
So I think I'm really optimistic that we're now having conversations.
Yeah.
And so it's not something we don't talk about like years past. So it's not this stigma. The brain chemistry, and it's a very complex issue, and you can't just think you're going to solve it by having more personnel in place. I mean, we've got to start with our families and making sure that they're healthy at home with food and, you know, safe, stable housing and affordable housing. And, you know, we've got plentiful jobs, but it's a complex issue. But I'm optimistic that we're talking about it, that I think in the Capitol and Bismarck and the legislature, it's a priority.
Now, you mentioned the North Dakota budget being in really good shape. Is infrastructure going to benefit from some of this?
It will. And finally, I think you'll see some of that prairie dog money coming back to Richland County. You know, we're sitting in Richland County with a number of deficient bridges, and we know our roads take a toll in this part of the country with our weather and our climate. And then, you know, the trucking that occurs because of our agricultural community. But I think we're going to get some good money back here.
What makes you different? What do you bring to the table as far as the legislature goes that you feel is inherently unique to you?
Well, I am a bit of an oddball in the sense that I really have no tolerance for following a party line and voting and disregarding what my citizens and the constituents want. Mm-hmm. I'm there to represent them. I'm not there to represent a party.
Right.
And I'm not afraid to toe that line. And
so you've been out there doing you've been doing a lot of campaigning. You've been very busy. What is the feedback that you're hearing from people here at home?
Oh, it's been great talking to people. And, you know, I ask them right away, what's your concern? I'm now, you know, not only campaigning, but I represent them. Property taxes at the top. But, you know, we've got other issues. We've, you know, the funding for our schools, our wonderful college, NDSCS, child care. We've got to solve that. You know, we've got to get more people working in that industry. We've got to help parents. And so I think there's a solid plan that we're going to move forward. But there's a whole host of, you know, it depends on what age group you're talking to. But,
right. Elisa, good luck in the election, and thank you so much. I know you're a busy lady. Thank you so much for coming in this morning and spending some time with us.
appreciate it, Bill. Thank you.
Lisa Mitzkog, North Dakota House Representative. It's 928 here at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Good morning.
This is the Ag Central Radio Network. I'm Ben Erickson with an Ag News Update. The FBN 2022 Fertilizer Transparency Report shows